Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're on our fourth series going through the entire Bible verse by verse, and we come today to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. Get your Bible if you can. We're going to cover the second chapter of the Song of Solomon. You can study all four of those series from start to finish, every verse of the Bible, verse by verse, using my audio Bible messages at the Scripture Verse by Verse website found at thebibleversebyverse.com. So, study the whole Bible from Genesis through Revelation, or any book of the Bible in between, however you want to do it, by choosing, clicking, and listening. And all you need to bring is your Bible to thebibleversebyverse.com. Okay, Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. The woman in our story speaks to the king and says, I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. And Solomon answers her in verse 2. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The king says, you're like a lily among thorns. No one can compare you to anyone else because everyone else fades in your presence. No one can be compared to you. You are the very best. And humanly speaking, from the description that she gave of herself last time, she probably wasn't. Her skin was probably dried out and rough from all the sun, but he doesn't care. The king doesn't care because he loves her. She's the best thing that ever happened to him, and he had a lot of good things happen to him. He was a king of the most powerful nation in the world, but she's still the best thing that ever happened to him. And this is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd, and you, as one single child of God, among many, are as important to him and precious to him as all the other Christians who have ever lived combined. It's true. He loves you that much. You are that important, that valuable to him. And by the way, if you are saved, then he is that precious to you. It's a two-way street. The Bible says to those of us who believe, Christ is precious. So this is a love relationship between a Christian and Jesus Christ, their Savior. There's nothing about law. There isn't anything about legalism in this relationship. Jesus is good to us because he loves us, and we love him back and want to be good to him in return. We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. And that's the truth if you're a Christian. 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The woman says of the king that he's the finest apple tree in the entire orchard. In other words, he is the best out of all the men that I have ever known. And then she says, I'm seated in his shade and enjoying his fruit. Sounds like the perfect match, doesn't it? Really does. People try everything to be satisfied, and nothing really works. Nothing from this world works completely. because we are spiritual beings, and we need to be reconciled to God in order to feel complete. Don't waste your time trying to find satisfaction in the things of this world, because you're not going to find it. You're more than just a body. If you were just a body, it would work, but you're not just a body. You are a soul. You are a spirit. So repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and make a commitment to follow Him, and then start enjoying His company through the Word of God and prayer, and you will discover that there is nothing better than Jesus, and Jesus, all by Himself, is all that you need. He really does satisfy. And that's what the Bible is talking about when it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need Jesus to be satisfied, just like the woman was satisfied by the man that she loved, who, in this story, is a picture of Jesus. The God, the Savior, the God-man. 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. The girl says that the king brought her to the banquet hall, and she was happy because everybody could see how much he loved her. And that reminds me of the time that Jesus stood outside of Lazarus's tomb and wept. The crowd that was there said, behold, how he loved him. Jesus loved Lazarus, and he loved his sisters. So because they were sad, he was sad. And I don't know how many people who are not saved appreciate the love that Jesus has, especially for Christians and actually for the entire world. Anyone who would leave heaven where everything is perfect and comfortable. Anyone who would confine himself to one physical body, when before that he was as omnipresent as the Father and the Holy Spirit, anyone who would give up that to become a man, in fact, a little baby, in fact, an embryo, must love us an awful lot. And of course, it didn't stop there, because Jesus became, of all things, a blue-collar worker. He had slivers, he had blisters, he had sore muscles, you better believe it. You know, carpenters in those days had to go down and cut down their own trees, plane that wood. So he knew what hard work was all about. And he lived among people and put up with sinners all his life, even though he never committed sin once. And you know, the more holy you are, the more difficult it is to be around sinners. And Jesus was perfectly holy, so that wasn't an easy thing for him. And then, of course, above all, he went to the cross voluntarily, died a horrible, torturous death on the cross, shed his blood for our redemption to pay for our sins. If that's not love, and if that's not enough proof that Jesus loves you, then I would say you are hopeless. You are a hopeless case. You are hopelessly self-centered, and you think way more highly of yourself than you should. Verse 5. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick with love. She is saying, feed me with your love, for I am completely lovesick. All she thought about was this man. Now remember, this is a story about Solomon and a woman. So there's a genuine story here. But it's also, and this is the important thing, this is how it is to be interpreted. It is a picture, it is a poem, it is a song about Jesus Christ and his people. True Christians. So, all this woman thought about was this man. She just had to be around him. And when she wasn't around him, we know that all she did was think about him. And I hope you're that way towards Jesus, because that's what's supposed to be there. I hope you're that way towards Jesus no matter how long you have been saved, because that's what Christ wants from you. In fact, it is spiritually dangerous to lose that first love. Jesus told the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation that they had lost their first love and they needed to get it back, or things were going to go down the drain. They're going to go from bad to worse until finally their spiritual light would be put out entirely. The road to apostasy begins when one begins to lose their first love for Jesus. That initial excitement that one feels when you are saved. So make sure you keep it fresh. You know what that means? It means don't tolerate sin. It means don't tolerate a day without prayer and being in the Word of God. Because no relationship flourishes unless you spend time with the person. 6. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. She tells the other girls in the community to leave her man sleep. He was paying attention to her. As we saw in verse 6, so she doesn't want anyone else to disturb him and to distract him. She wants him all to herself. And there's nothing wrong with that in a relationship. That's the way it should be. People think that jealousy is somehow wrong or is an undesirable characteristic, but it's not. God is jealous over us. He was jealous when his Old Testament people began to set him aside and worship idols. And that's because they belong to him. If someone who belongs to you is messing around with another man or another woman or getting too chummy with them, even if it isn't physical, even if it's just mental and emotional bonding or closeness, you have every right in the world to be jealous. And there's something wrong with you if you're not, because they're out of line. They're supposed to belong to you. 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. So she sees her beloved coming, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. Poetic language, of course, indicating that when she needs him, he is there. And he's there in a hurry. She was his priority. And you are Jesus's priority. He tells you, call on him and he will answer. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Verse 9, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. She said, my beloved is like a young deer. He stands behind the wall and looks at the windows. In other words, he's concerned about her and he watches over her for good. And Jesus is ever vigilant toward us as well. He tells us that he is with us always, even unto the end of the age. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 10. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fir tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Man says to the woman, come away with me right now. This is the perfect time. And don't waste time as a Christian. Do not delay to give Jesus your complete and total obedience. Do not for a second put off doing that what he wants you to do. The moments of your life are priceless. And any time that is not spent in fellowship with Jesus for whatever reason is a waste of the gift of time that God has given us. And we can never get those minutes back. And I think that in eternity, we will regret that. I know we will. 14. My dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. The woman says, I need to hear your voice. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're hiding behind some rock. One thing I know is that you are out of sight, and I need to at least hear you. And I can tell you this, I have been saved for over 41 years. And I believe the only day, and it was probably a couple of days, that I did not spend time with Jesus in the Word of God was several years ago when I had major surgery. And I was knocked out. Otherwise, I couldn't stand going through an entire day without hearing the voice of God. And if you don't crave the voice of God like this woman craved the voice of her man, then your walk with Jesus isn't what it should be. There's a disconnect someplace. Better get it right, because you've lost that first love. And we already saw what that leads to. 15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. She petitions her man to get rid of the little foxes that are ruining the vines. If he doesn't do something, they're not going to have a harvest of grapes. She knows where to go when she needs help, when she has a problem. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The first person we should turn to when we have a problem of any kind, and we should do it without even thinking, the first place we should go to is Jesus. The first one we should go to. And if we are close to him, that's exactly where we will go. It'll be as natural as breathing. 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. She says, I am his, he is mine. Jesus is not a religion. You know that? Maybe that's one of the purposes for the Song of Solomon too, is to show us that our relationship with Jesus Christ is not, should not be a cold, dead, formal form of religiosity. That is so foreign to what it means to be a Christian by biblical definition. And if you're not a Christian by biblical definition, you're not a Christian. You got religion, but you ain't got Jesus. So if you get anything out of this book, it should be that being a Christian is not about going to church or following a ritual or belonging to a denomination or following a list of rules of some sort. Jesus is not a religion. Ladies and gentlemen, being saved is not being religious. I've had people say, well, yeah, I know you're a religious man, and it makes my skin crawl when I hear that. And I know they don't mean anything bad by it, but it's not true. I'm not a religious man. There are a lot of religious people who will die and go to hell even though they think that their religion will save them. Being saved comes down to having a close, personal, one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being saved, being a Christian, is being able to say, I'm His and He's mine. So salvation is having a close relationship with Jesus Christ where you know that He loves you and you know that He is the most important thing to you. If you are saved, then yes, I know Jesus is your creator and Jesus is your God and He is your judge and your savior, but He is much more than those things. He is also your friend. And we'll stop right there. Remember, study the entire Bible with me, verse by verse, using my audio Bible messages at thebibleversebyverse.com. Study at your pace, at your convenience. Click and listen. That's all you have to do. And if you would like to be a part of this ministry, this proven ministry for 35 plus years that has been teaching the Word of God verse by verse without watering it down. And if you doubt me, go back and listen to my archives because they're all there at thebibleversebyverse.com. If you would like to be a part of this ministry that does not compromise the Word of God, but communicates, teaches the whole counsel of God, you can be by praying for me and God's Word. And also when you take a break from studying at thebibleversebyverse.com, you are welcome also to go to the front page, click the donate button, and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.